Close your eyes, and you will find yourself.
When I was a boy, my mother used to tell me a story of a demon king and his army. They brought fire and terror to the land. Until they faced the protector of the people, the white monkey.
There you are. You are a beast.
In this city, the rich don't see us as people.
Give me the job no one wants to do. I'll do it.
Anyone who forgets their place, it doesn't turn out well for them.
This is not the place to work if you can't handle that sort of stuff.
Every day, I've prayed for a way to protect the weak.
I've got an answer to every prayer. I call her Nikki.
Minaj.
Big bumper.
Nice headlights.
Let's boogie.
You need to fight for your mother, for all of us.
Anger will not quiet your soul, my son.
Don't call me son.
It's time to remember who you are.
But only love kills more when will they learn.
Just one small ember can burn down everything.
Mark you.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for a fight?
1, 2, 3.
Hello, welcome back to the Cinemania World Podcast. Today, it's me, Josie, hosting again because we're doing another super special episode of Cinemummies, and I am joined by Manda.
Hey, it's good to be back.
I know, today is just the two of us, because for the longest time we've been like, we should do a Monkey Man review, but nobody ever had time, and then luckily Manda and I had time today, and if anyone's gonna gush about Dev Patel, it's the two of us.
Truly. Yeah. It's been like, what, 2 weeks? I want to say it's 2 weeks of us just going back and forth.
It's gonna be great. Better late than never. Yeah. So before we get into our initial thoughts, for people that aren't in the know, why? How? I want to be you. I want to live as off the grid because this life is stressful, but I'm going to do you a favor. You deserve to know about this if you don't. Monkey Man is Dev Patel's directorial debut.
Woo!
Honestly, like, clap if we had the sound effect. Like, applause, standing ovation.
Does it sound like clapping?
Yes. So essentially, a little bit about the film. This is from Letterboxd. Kid, an anonymous young man who ekes out a meager living in an underground fight club where night after night, wearing a gorilla mask, he is beaten bloody by more popular fighters for cash. After years of suppressed rage, Kid discovers a way to infiltrate the enclave of the city's sinister elite. As his childhood trauma boils over, his mysteriously scarred hands unleash an explosive campaign of retribution to settle the score with the men who took everything from him. Yes. It's a little long, but you know what? That's basically the beginning of the film, so you're good. There's so much here.
Yeah, there's so much. And I think on IMDb at one point it was like one line. I'm like, I don't know how you guys condensed it to one line to describe this film. Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately the basis of it, it's a revenge film. And I love in one of his interviews saying that he took a lot of inspiration from Korean cinema, especially Old Boy, because best revenge film out there, possibly. And you can tell that he did his research. He's been doing his time as an actor and just learning the craft, and it shows in this film.
Oh, definitely. I think that was like the Letterboxd interview where they asked him what inspired him. And he's like pulling all these films that, you know, like some Bruce Lee films, I think he mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I just love that for his directorial debut, he's like, I'm going to do everything that I love, and I'm just going to put everything together in this film. And I think that I was just more impressed with just how his mind works with certain action sequences. Yeah. I was just floored watching this. And at the same time, I think people look at directorial debuts as like it already has to be perfect for whatever reason, and I don't understand why they have to have that in their mind sometimes. But it's like, this is a directorial debut. Like, even if it's not like as polished as you think it like should be, like, he's taking such a bold approach to this, and it takes guts to like get behind the camera after acting so long. So I think that this was just an amazing debut for him, just given the style of the film.
And he's also doing so much. I believe, I don't know, I think it was that same interview, but I TikTok just kept giving me so many interviews of him for this film promoting it, and I'm like, thank you, the algorithm knows me. But there was one moment where he was talking about how it's just him as a director, and then the blocking, and then actually being in his, trying not to be in his head during those scenes, because then he has to like count those movements, take into account all the other actors, and there's so much going on. And usually like that is a difficult position to be in, but I think specifically for him, it was a little bit more challenging considering the scale of the film. And if you watch it, you'll probably feel the same way. But I think he handled it with such grace. And you're right. I remember seeing a lot of people saying that the film was messy at times, but I was quick to forgive, because when you're watching it, it just blends with what's going on. And the story isn't told in a linear fashion in terms of finding out the backstory of this character. So I thought it was appropriate just to keep the audience guessing. And again, I was just easy to forgive because I felt like it added to the atmosphere and tone of the film. And despite how it might be a little discomforting for some people that are just looking for something sleeker, maybe like a John Wick, I still felt like it had that appeal of a John Wick film. But it also, it just, I loved how distinctive it was. I can pull this film out of a lineup easily.
Oh, absolutely. And I think a lot of people called it, like, it's just, I don't know why they kept comparing it to like John Wick, but they kept saying like, it's that version. Is it better than this? And I'm like, but why is that going to be the basis of all action films moving forward? And for me, like, an action film that stands out, the story has to be unique in order for the action to actually mean something. And again, like, for Monkey Man, I just love the ancestral lore that was tied into this. And it's such a, like, a hard-hitting revenge story that I'm like, forget about John Wick, fam. Like, Dev Patel made such a great film on its own. And like you said, I was like, I was quick to be like, you know what? Like, it's still good. Like, and the reason why for me is that like those action scenes alone, like, they're burned in my brain. Like, he took it there, and it's like, I didn't know what to expect. And I think that the stakes were so high because he was just like ripping through people that you didn't know the what, like the weapons that he was going to use, or like what, like the one thing with the knife, like mm-hmm. in the elevator. I'm not going to give too much away there, but I was like
his actual mouth.
Yeah, I was like,
oh, he went I'm there.
Like, yeah, I'm like, this man's crazy. I was like, what are you doing? So I loved it. I loved it for that reason because he took such big swings, and that's really important in a director, I think.
Especially the political aspect of it. I thought that was mm-hmm. so brilliant. When we were coming out of our screening, there was this woman that was saying, like, I felt it was unnecessary. And I'm like, what?
I was like, no.
No. It adds such a wonderful layer, especially it reminded me of RRR. Mm-hmm. And I love that we are seeing more diversity and more history and more culture in these films, because at least with, like, bringing John Wick back in again, it's mostly like the folklore of like the Baba Yaga, and I think that's what made it stand out, because you never really knew, because there came a point where it felt like, oh, John Wick might be this mythical figure, and like they played around with that, but this actually dives into something more concrete that doesn't teeter on the fine line of whether this is real or not. It just, this is the history and the culture that's explicitly interwoven, and I really like that Jordan Peele gave a chance to this film, and that Dev Patel took the challenge of, like, took on that challenge of telling the story himself, because considering his career, it was mm-hmm. a really good move.
Oh, 100%. I said it in my, I think my Letterboxd review, I said, Dev Patel was like, you guys aren't going to cast me in anything. I'm going to make my own movie. And I'm like, accurate, because this man has been underrated for so long. I don't understand, mm-hmm. but I just don't get this industry whatsoever. He's so incredibly charming. He's bloody talented. I don't know why he hasn't been like leading man status, like Leonardo DiCaprio since Slumdog Millionaire came out. Like, I have no idea.
And he was I kept thinking about that film while watching Monkey Man, not just because there were some aspects mm-hmm. that I found similar, but it felt more like, for me, it was like, wow, look how, like, a moment of pride. Look how far he's come.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just the search, because there was also the search for, in that movie, for his past. And they're both interwoven between past and present and legacy. Mm-hmm. And going back and forth through memories. So I really liked that that was there. But, again, it was that moment of pride, and he was so good in that film. Of course, it got so much buzz. And then I remember that, I think it was before Green Knight, that most of the Twitter conversation around him was, why isn't this man getting more roles? And then he had David Copperfield, which didn't do really well because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think Green Knight was able to turn around his status, where he was able to move around the cards and the pieces in his favor.
I think it was just a reminder that it was like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm here. Because I remember he got nominated for Lion.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is the guy from Slumdog Millionaire. And I'm like, let's put some respect on the man's name. Like, I just don't understand the disconnect with general audiences.
Neither do I, because I remember even when he was in Lion, we know, because we're paying attention mm-hmm. to this sort of conversation.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that, and I unfortunately totally forgot, because not a lot of people spoke about that.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's obviously a glaring, obvious reason as mm-hmm. to why, because there are white actors that will do the bare minimum. I'm so sorry, but for example, Jacob Elordi, you're a good actor. But like, you are maybe at the same caliber, or Dev Patel, I would say, is a little bit more out there.
Oh, not, yeah, he definitely feathers, is.
But yeah.
No, it's true. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you're not ruffling. Status-wise, Dev is way up there. Like,
he's so talented, but obviously there is a bias in the industry.
Yeah.
But I really do hope this film changes that narrative, because he has what it takes. And if Bradley Cooper can get so many opportunities to direct stuff, then...
Honestly, with now, like, Dev Patel has this, I guess I'm going to call it a marriage with Jordan Peele. That's mm-hmm. such a good pairing. Yeah. It's and we can see that in Monkey Man. So even if Dev Patel's like behind the camera and he's not acting, I think this is such a great career for him, like a career change for him, like you said. But I don't know, man. Like, it just bothers me that like, I know I heard this, and I want to make sure that I'm saying this correctly, that Netflix had the rights to Monkey Men before Jordan Peele picked it up, apparently, for like to distribute, and I think it's Universal. Yeah, so I think that Netflix had it beforehand.
I don't remember the timeline, but I do know this film went through so many hoops. And he suffered so many accidents on set. So there were definitely a lot of challenges to get this film out there. And luckily, it did make it out into the light of day. The darkness of a nice theater.
I know. Honest to God, because I was like, that would have been such an interesting rollout if it did do streaming. God, it was
in theaters.
Yeah, definitely. Because like,
watching the film, I was like, this would probably have been buried in streaming.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it did well opening weekend too, Monkey Man. I think it exceeded expectations for what the film was because they had like a very small budget. And then it just doubled, I think, from what I read. So that was really cool too, that he was able to, you know, make it somewhat big at the box office with this one for him. So yeah, everything's pointing in his favor. I need him to be in everything. And every time, like, I looked at his filmography, Josie, and I was like, there's only like 10 movies here that are like, I was like, what is this? He should have been in like 50 by now from when he started.
He should be employed every single year. Put him in a movie, Pedro Pascal. I'd love to see that.
Oh my God, the hair alone would be fantastic. The hair, just like bring out the curls. Oh God, that'd be amazing.
But I think we can talk about that. He looks absolutely radiant in this film.
He's glorious in every single moment. I was like, he can get more attractive.
Yeah. Like, no, he was absolutely gorgeous. Dropped the skincare routine, king, and the hair routine.
Truly.
But I love how, as is to happen in most action movies, I love that he knows his audience. And there were times where he was like, let me rip my shirt off. I'm like, he's like checking all the boxes. He's like, what does an action movie have?
Yes. And he's like, and I'm gonna like with like sweat dripping. I'm like, yes. Yeah. Like, good job, buddy. But he knew, and he's like, I'm gonna make myself an action star. And I think that's what's so special about him is that he took it upon himself. Like I said, it's a ballsy move. He does have a name for himself. Unfortunately, it gets buried, and I hate that. But this is what he needed to do at this moment, and it's truly something special for this year. I have to admit, it's like in my top five right now.
Same. Yeah. And it's definitely a film that's gonna stay with you. Whoever's listening, you can tell that we generally did enjoy this film. We would recommend it. I think, what was your favorite part of the film?
Oh, wow.
I know. I was like, do I ask the question? Because even I'm like, what was my favorite part?
There's a couple. I think so the first needle drop when he goes to give the cocaine out in the big club, without spoiling, I'm not going to say that much, but that scene, that needle drop, and then what came after that stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember in the same Letterboxd interview that we were discussing before, he mentioned The Raid and how there's like three tiers, like a video game level of like how many people you have to fight, and then obviously like the big dog at the very top. So I like that he pulled that. So that entire sequence towards the end, I believe, until he met like the big boss, I was really big fan of that.
Yeah, I think also my favorite part, now that you mention it, is that we see him gain his wins. Like, we see him grow as a character and go from this man that is losing on purpose for money to someone that dares to try and win a fight. And it doesn't come easy for him. So I like how we see him learn from those moments and continue to train and better himself. So every single victory or potential victory that could come throughout the film is earned, and it's believable. I like that it wasn't a deus ex machina kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think for me, this like falls into like Bond territory, is that Bond's mm-hmm. always look like clean cut. Yeah. Right after he like got brutally beaten, and I'm just like, I can't.
That's why I like the messy aspect of this film at times, because it goes with the character. He's a messy man that's just like not, he doesn't think things through entirely. No. He's just making it up as he goes, and luckily his efforts help him. It's not just luck.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. I think it's just a great story, I think. Even though, like I did get out of there, I'm like, maybe they should have kind of expanded on the political commentary that was there, because it did get a bit confusing when it would come in. I think that he could have explored that a bit more if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. That's the only, like, if we have to say a negative, but or else, like, I'm vibing with the whole thing. It's like, that's the only thing that he could have expanded upon, but my God.
I think they could have gone deeper, but it's one, maybe it's one of those moments where they're like, let's not over-explain too much, because then this could, like, draw away some viewers, because, you know, how sometimes people are like, I don't know, they want it simplified as much as possible or spoon-fed, but I think the film would have, I agree, it would have benefited from a more specific tone. But then I think the problem they had was you risk over explaining or like diving more into the political aspect at the expense of exposing his trauma beforehand.
Yes, that is fair. But it's also, I look at it.
It was weird.
No, I totally get that. But then I turn the page over and it's like, maybe that's not what he wanted the focus of the film to be, obviously, because it is a revenge story. So I get, like, he had to play around with that balance, but I totally understand that.
Yeah, because it does add more, this whole aspect. I just remember sitting in the theater, and I'm from Puerto Rico, so a completely different culture, but I could still relate to it with this concept of the rich just moving in and taking land from people for their own benefits. Like back home, it's like people moving in and buying up houses from Puerto Ricans for Airbnbs. So I could instantly transport myself to putting that story in my culture and in my island, which I love, because it instantly makes it a universal story for so many people. And that's when you know that it's a well thought out narrative.
Oh, definitely. I completely agree with that. He touched so many different points, and then all while making such a bomb action movie at the exact same time, because it was also it's crazy what he did. If you really look at it, there's a little bit of everything for everybody. And
the romance, even though it's not very explicit and it's only there for like a little bit, still I was like, whenever they looked at each other, I was like, ooh.
I know, I'm like, where's that scene, Dev? Like, is it on the cutting room floor? Like, did you not want to go that far with that? There's everything for everybody. That's all I can say at the end of this, because that's so hard to do too, on top of like crafting incredible action sequences, which is what everyone's going to take away from this film, is that the action scenes were like so well choreographed and executed.
Yeah. I also, one thing I really enjoyed was how he shows maybe the aspects of society that sometimes like tourism companies love to hide, like come visit this country, and they instantly for like erase or cover with one hand whatever something someone might consider negative towards that place that could deter visitors. And I love that he showed it without it making it like this is reality. It's like whenever, again, speaking from my perspective from back home, the poverty and just like after Hurricane Maria, there is some houses that don't have ceilings and all that, and you can't cover that, you can't hide that, and yet tourism companies try to do that. But also showing that side shows the humanity of a place and shows the reality of it, and it doesn't have to be negative, it just shows the truth. And I love that he did that with such a light touch that felt honest and respectful of his country, of his background.
Yeah.
And like, it's a reality. We can't deny it. But also, this is a place that we love, and this is a place that we respect, and this is a place that we live in with people.
Yeah.
And especially with the scene with the church and that aspect of giving people a safe haven.
Yeah. It was very like realistic mm-hmm. and authentic. And I think that even showing human connection, no matter how you find it, because even with the group of people that help him train afterwards, like that was such a great like moment, like such a great sequence of him like interacting with them and just feeling very mm-hmm. rooted to like his mom essentially, and yeah. to his background. I thought that was such a special moment to like keep it grounded after like such exhilarating action scenes. Like, no, let's bring it back, let's mm-hmm. root it in. There's something sentimental, there's something heartfelt here. So I think he did a great job, like you said, like balancing all of that and actually showing it for what it is.
Yeah, because there is like the contrast between like the brothels and then the rich people taking advantage of women and other people for their own pleasure. But then you also have the beauty and nature and again, this honesty and this love between the people. And I love that he was just able to bring it in such a naturalistic way that just made it something more believable and easy to connect with.
Yeah, because without that, then it's going to be like any other action film that exactly. like you're and that's throw what makes away. It stand out. Exactly, like you can like put any of like sorry Dwayne Johnson, but any of his films. I'm sorry, The Rock. But you can put any of his action films like against Monkey Man, and like Monkey Man will still trump anything that mm-hmm. he's done because of the story. It's important. I want people to understand that action films need to have a good story. Please. Yeah. Like, there's no other reason why we're going to go pay that amount of money to go sit there. And like, you know what I mean? Like, they have to come up with good stories. I think that that's even what audiences are shifting. You know, we see this tide shift that like these independent films, these like they're doing so well at the box office because people are tired of like the same formulaic run of the mill stuff, Marvel. So it's just sorry. But like that's what it is. Like it comes down to that. And like action films, like there could be like seven more John Wick films. But there could be like seven more of his films, but if it doesn't have a good mm-hmm. story, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's gonna get tiresome no matter how long the franchise goes.
It also really helps that the cinematographer is, hopefully, if you hear this, I'm sorry if I mispronounce your last name, but Sharon Mir, he also was the cinematographer for Whiplash.
Hell yes.
Yeah, and respect. You can tell because of the style, which brings me back, you made me think of this, that I was ruminating in my head while watching the film. I love that this film has style, it has a clear vision, and it's not afraid to feature color. Like, mm-hmm. let's get over the Zack Snyder like color palette, bring back the reds, the hues, everything. I love that this film again was so naturalistic, but it also upped saturation when it needed to, like with the warms and the reds and everything. And I just love that. Definitely. It was playful on top of trying to be a serious action movie.
Yeah, and like I'm such a sucker for like a lighting change when it comes to like mm-hmm. this is the evil man coming out of the court. Like, why don't we have that anymore? Because when he opened, like when that elevator, which is similar to the poster, when those doors mm-hmm. opened and the red came back in the silhouette, I was like,
I screamed.
Right? Because you're like, oh my god, we rarely see something like this. And I love yeah. it. I totally agree.
I love color theory. I love expressionism. I just love when people play around, because then yeah. it just gets boring and we've seen everything, and literally no story is original. That is the first thing they'll tell you in film school. So just play around with it. Don't yeah. be afraid to experiment and get dirty and just be creative. And I people giving this 3 stars or less, I'm like, come on, he did a great job.
He did.
It's his directorial debut. I think it reminded me a lot of Lin-Manuel Miranda in terms of his directorial debut, where he said that he was offered to direct In the Heights, but instead he wanted to John Chu to be his apprentice and to watch him as he worked on the film and learn from him before stepping up to a place, because he thought that he deserved it right off the bat. He attempted to earn it as best as he could. And considering Dev Patel's career and the fact that he has been sidelined for so long. I definitely think he deserves this moment. I totally agree with you. It's a good debut.
Yeah. That's like, we're allowed to say no, but like what people are, it bothers me because this goes with every freaking film that comes out. Pardon my French, but it's like it's either a masterpiece or it's like trash. And I hate saying trash, but like sometimes you know people say it. It's just the fact that like there's no middle ground anymore. Like we, like you said, it's a good debut. That's okay because it is a directorial debut. You can't expect them to like. You know what I mean? Make it.
And it's such a large scale. Despite how, regardless of the budget, it's such a large scale film in terms of story. You have so many scenes. You have so many people. I mean, again, that brothel scene alone had me, like, there are so many extras. And in my head, I was just thinking, dude, how are you doing all of this at the same time?
It's insane.
And then the club scenes, too. There are, again, there are so many scenes with so many people. And you also have kitchen scenes. Just from the mindset of production, this is an insane film.
It's crazy. I like we've been saying, it's just crazy everything that he put into this. I think that's the thing. It's like you sit back and you're like, he wrote the story. He directed. He's also like so hands-on with everything else. He's the lead in the movie. Like it's just... this man... And I think it was also it was through the pandemic as well.
Yes.
They shot this on top of all that. Like the man put in the work. Yeah.
During interview, he said that it was during the pandemic. So it was also like on top of the regular responsibilities of a director and the regular stressors that come with that. He also had to deal with taking care of people within this bubble. Like he said, they were on an island. They shot this on an island.
My God.
And like, I'm pretty sure it was a secluded area where they were able to use different parts and shoot in different locations, but essentially they were able to create this bubble of this entire cast and crew. And he was like, some people got married, some people got divorced, there was a whole life lived on this movie set. And it's like, but also you're supervising that and you have to be in charge of all of this. But again, I thought it was a brilliant effort. It was a noble directorial debut. I can't wait to see what else he makes.
I'm so excited for him. Please buy tickets to go watch this. Long story short, that is what we're trying to say to you, because he put everything.
But it doesn't go without saying that there are clearly a lot of good parts of this film that support our argument. I think, just to share a negative since you did, the only thing that I wanted more of was the congregation in that sanctuary, that then they show up with the garments and the... cultural attire and they're doing all this action and I'm just like, I need more of them. I need to know more because we never really, that came as a surprise to me and I was like, wait, I want to know more about this.
Yeah, because like they really pumped the brakes during that entire section and I was just like, whoa, like this is like so amazing that he incorporated this. And then when they came out with him at the end, I was like, but we needed a whole movie of just them working with Dev Patel at that point because that was just crazy. It was crazy. It was so
It was giving a little bit of the Dora Milaje in Black Panther.
The whole formation too. More. I demand Kylo Ren more gif inserted here.
But again, I love when people are unapologetic with their storytelling and including their culture and just, you know, making a gosh darn good film and not saying sorry about it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. What are your final thoughts?
Go buy a ticket immediately. Yeah. I don't care what you plan on watching. Change it. And you're going to go watch Monkey Man after listening to this review. We're going to support Dev Patel until the end of time. Because this man deserves a lot more attention, a lot more recognition. And I think that this career pivot into directing is going to open way more doors for him. And we're very, very proud of him.
Also, I've heard that he's actually a genuinely nice person. Yeah. And what's better than a person in Hollywood. That's actually nice. So I absolutely support this. I support the supporting of the film and the man.
And the man. Let's not forget. Yes. Let's also support Dev in future endeavors.
But honestly, action movies are back, baby. And woo-hoo. People, please don't take it literally. Action movies have not gone away. I'm just like, it's a form of speech. But anyways, action movies are back.
I love it. Yeah, action movies with Dev Patel.
Yes.
Are back.
But it's an adrenaline-filled rush with revenge, love, culture, politics, and a whole lot of Dev Patel that you can't miss. It has color, style, and it's a real treat. So go watch.
Boom. What a way to end it. That was great. Yeah.
Dev Patel, we trust.
Dev Patel, we trust. We're making t-shirts, by the way.
Yes. Also, I'll give them a plug. Super Yaki, they did a Dev Patel summer and a Dev Patel fall collaboration. They did a set of shirts when Green Knight came out, and they just did one for his directorial debut. So if you love pop culture attire, head over to superyaki.com.
I'm going
not sponsored, right, but Super Yaki, if you want to sponsor us.
I'm going right now.
But yeah, where can they find you, Amanda?
Yeah, you guys can always follow me over at AMXNDAReviews on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd. You can check out my website, CandidXCinema.com, and my YouTube, Candid Cinema.
Amazing. You can find me at the Josie Marie on Twitter and Letterboxd. You can follow Cinemania World at Cinemania World practically everywhere. You can also keep up with us on Podbean, if I'm not mistaken. And you can also listen to the Cinemania World podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. And that is where you'll find Cinemummies. So we'll see you guys next time. Cinemummies.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.